You're welcome once again, listeners. You're tuned to the Smile FM Sports Show. I'm Paul Dean, and hopefully you can stay with us for the rest of the show, or at least part of it. And as always, we would love to hear your news or views, and you can do so by emailing the show at sport@smilefmcork.com. That's sport@smilefmcork.com, or you can ring me on 086-826-3098. We would only be delighted to hear about your sporting events or upcoming events. On the show this week in GAA, Dermot O'Connell is in to give a rundown on all things GAA. We're glad to welcome on the programme Declan Barron of the East Cork Journal, who gives us his views on the games this weekend in the East Cork Junior Hurling Championship, as well as the quarterfinals in the County Junior B Football Championships. As well, we have news on pitch and putt, cricket, horse racing, greyhound racing, soccer, athletics and clay shoot, and much, much more. So it's over to Dermot on the GAA scene. We start.
We begin our GAA roundup this week with news of Sunday's Munster Senior Football Championship final at Pádraig between Cork and Kerry. That's the 6th of July. And it's on RTE, and it's starting at 2 o'clock. And the referee is Cormac Riley from Meath. Now, he's the referee who had to retire in the Waterford and Carlow match because he wasn't feeling that well, but he's named again anyway for this match. It's preceded by the minor match, and that's between Cork and Kerry as well, and that's on at 12 o'clock. So it'll be a very early start for those who want to see the minor match. That's refereed by Richard Maloney from Limerick. And from Yall, Andrew Joyce and Matthew Farrell are on the extended panel in the minor team. Now, it's interesting in the senior team that's named that the three hurlers, or hurlers footballers, I suppose, that we've been talking about for a few weeks now are named on the team. Owen Kerrigan is at fullback, and Damien Callahan is on at left halfback, and Aidan Walsh is at centre field. One other interesting thing in the naming of the team was that Patrick Kelly, whom he had been trying out at centre-back, is now moved to a more traditional role as right half-forward. So it'll be interesting seeing how he gets on there. During the week, Cork junior footballers went down to Kerry in the Munster final. Kerry 3-14, Cork 13 points. That was on Wednesday night, the 2nd. Now, results from the club scene in Cork during the week in the Intermediate Football Championship. Now, Saturday night last, the 28th of June, Clyne went down to Yall. Clyne 10 points, Yall 3-10. Lee Desmond top scored for Yall with 1-5. Damon O'Sullivan scored 8 points for Clyne, 7 of them from place balls. And Clyne now go on and play Glanmurt in a relegation playoff. So that won't be easy either for them, I'd say. In the Junior B Football Championship on Monday the 30th of June, Ballinacurra had a big win over Deal Rovers. Ballinacurra 5-8, Deal Rovers 7 points. So they're picking up where they left off last year. In the Senior Hurling Championship then, we had the losers from the previous week, Middleton and Sars, out again. And everyone was expecting them to win against Killa and Bride Rovers, and that's the way it happened on Sunday now, the 29th of June. Killa 1-13, Middleton 3-18. Connolly Hand top scored for Middleton there with 10 points, 6 from place balls, and Jordine scored 6 points for Killa, 6 of them from place balls. In the other match, Bride Rovers 15 points, Sars 2-25. Kian McCarthy stopped top scored for Sars with 1-10, 8 from place balls, and Bride Rovers in that match had a player sent off in the 10th minute, so obviously that didn't help their cause, and it's becoming a bit of a problem, I think, now in a lot of the matches I'm reviewing. You know, it seems to be a player sent off in nearly every match. Saturday in the 28th of June, the Premier Intermediate Hurling Championship in the Scarra 4-19, Watergrass Hill 1-24. That was after extra time. It was 2-14 to 1-17 after full time. Shane O'Regan scored 8 points for Watergrass Hill, 6 of them from place balls. In the Intermediate Hurling Championship then on Sunday the 29th of June, Ballygarvan 2-12, St. Catherine's 1-9. Shane Kearney top scored for St. Catherine's there with 4 points, and again Ballygarvan had a player sent off after 41 minutes. Now, in the Under-21A Football Championship, then semi-final on Friday the 27th last week, Hedda went down, I suppose, badly to Ballincollig, really. Hedda 5 points, Ballincollig 419, and Ballincollig now go on to meet Namur Rangers in the final. They had won 9 on the board before Adrian Stafford opened the scoring for Hedda. In the Red FM Senior Hurling League, on Tuesday, the 1st of July, then Courcy Rovers had a good win over Yall, 320 to 15 points. Maybe Yall are suffering from post-championship blues there against Newtown Shandrum. Division 2 Hurling League, Saturday the 28th of June now, in Iscara 214, Watercress Hill 117. Like, that was the championship match as well now. So for the league purposes, they finished a draw in for the league match. Killer Shield Senior Football, Thursday the 3rd of July, Hedda 110 and Island Rovers 218. So Hedda went down there fairly comprehensively. In fixtures now for the coming week, Tuesday the 8th of July, Senior Football Championship at 7:30 in Carrigtool, Hedda are playing St. Vincent's. So kind of a last chance there for Hedda to get back into things. Saturday the 5th of July, Junior B Football Championship, Ballinacorra playing Kilmeen at 7:30 in Kilmurry. And at 7:30 in Glenville, Bride Rovers are playing Whitechurch. That's going to be like a local derby there, really, even though Whitechurch play in the City Division now. And at 7:30 in Riverstone, Castle Lines are playing Ratpeakin, and they're not too far apart either. On Friday the 4th of July, in the Intermediate Hurling Championship at 7:30 in Parky Ring, Barry Row are playing St. Catherine's. And in the Intermediate Hurling Championship on Saturday the 5th of July at 6:30 in Parky Ring, Father O'Neill's are playing Dripsy. On Thursday then, the 10th of July, Division 3 Hurling League at 7:30, St. Catherine's are at home to Blackrock. And on Friday the 4th of July, in the Division 3 Football League at 8 o'clock, Glenville are at home to Kilnamatra. Now during the week, Aaron's Own launched a new history book, and it's called Aaron's Own, From an Acorn to an Oak, 1988 to 2013. And it was written by Paddy Toomey, former chairman of the club. And the event was held in the Radisson Hotel on Thursday night, and I went along to it. And afterwards, I spoke to Paddy Toomey, the author, and later then I had a word with PJ Murphy, the manager of the senior hurling team, about the championship and their win over Middleton and how he thought things were going to pan out for the coming few months. Paddy, we're just after the launch now of your new book, From an Acorn to an Oak, the history of Aaron's Own from 1988 to 2013, and congratulations on the book. As you said yourself, over 500,000 words. Did you realise what you were letting yourself in for?
No, I must admit that I didn't, to be quite honest. But at the same time, it's like everything else. Once you start it off, you have to see it through, you know. And obviously, I was dealing with 25 years. And the last year in particular, I had caught up, if you like. So I had to wait as the year developed before I finalised it.
One of the things that fascinates me about it is the sources that you had to go to get the information for the book. Like, I know, a certain amount would be in the club itself, but had you to go to the East Cork Board, County Board and things like that, newspapers?
No, I must say I was extremely lucky that the two Roonies we had during this period were Martin Bowen and Don O'Connor, and they used to do very, very detailed annual reports. And so the annual reports were my main source, and then I utilised any piece of newspaper or programmes or whatever paraphernalia we had in the museum. And we have a lot of stuff in the museum, actually, and I went through that, and that was a great source as well for me. I made one or two visits to the library, county library, to look up old newspaper reports and that kind of thing. And for those that were not already in the museum, and they really were my main sources, apart from the fact, I must be borne in mind, like, that I was deeply involved in the club for the whole of that period, and so I had my own memories and recollections, and I, if you like, topped up the written information with my own memories in most cases.
And did you decide to write it in kind of chronological order, like year after year, or past?
Yeah, I tossed it around for a while. Like, actually, there's a lot of work goes into preparation and deciding how you're going to approach it. And at the end, I decided, well, the obvious approach probably was on a yearly basis, but sometimes the particular year wouldn't be that successful, and you'd find it difficult to write maybe 20 or 30 pages about a year when you didn't manage to do a whole lot. And in other years then, like 1992, we'll say, you had no difficulty filling in 20 or 30 pages. So what happened was, to try and get a good average for every chapter, the way it wouldn't be unbalanced, I often put, particularly in the early years, 3 or 4 years together.
What's very pleasing about it as well is that you have a chapter for the ladies.
Yeah, well, I always feel that's important. And, you know, I know the ladies are 10 years, the club is 10 years old now, but, like, to be perfectly honest, from a parish point of view, the ladies are a huge boon to the place. And I see them going in there on whatever days they're training, and there are huge numbers going in to the ladies' side of things. So it would be very remiss if, and they are Aaron's own, so it would be very remiss of me not to include some section for the ladies. And in that regard, like, Tony Smitty and Tony Murphy were a marvellous help.
Yeah, and, like, looking now at the detail in it, like, one of the things that I always think, that when you look through your own family records, you see all the photographs and everything that were being taken at the time. I suppose, should every club nearly have a kind of a person in charge of recording their history? Or
I think they should. I think they should have a sort of a, I suppose you might call archivist. Him or her an archivist, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, the photographs, like, there are over 200 photographs in the book.
Yeah.
And the most difficult part, in a way, was deciding what photographs to leave out. Now, I felt I'd have to include any successful team that, you know, yeah, and if possible, the presentation of the trophy to the captain. But there is a miscellaneous section which I'm hoping is sort of has a lot of humorous type photographs that people wouldn't ever expect, possibly, yeah, in a hurling club. You know, they're, yeah, taken in the kitchen and that kind of thing.
Now, you were saying during your speech there that you were typing it. Did you type the whole lot, or what did you do?
I did, actually. Yeah. You know,
on the word processor.
Like, I, yeah, did that myself. So, yeah, if I got a match report, I typed a match report in. I didn't have the facility, and it wouldn't always work out, of scanning it into the book, or I wasn't capable of doing that anyway.
Yeah.
But so I typed it from start to finish myself, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd say in the last 3 months or so, I spent reviewing it and editing and,
yeah,
checking.
And had you to spend a lot of time with the printer then, kind of laying it out and that?
Yeah,
kind of
well,
thing?
To be fair, no, the printers were very efficient, and
yeah.
Yeah, I did spend days there adjusting the photographs, especially because I wanted to be sure the photographs would appear behind the chapter that they referred to, you know.
Yeah.
And the other thing then was, you know, chatting about the layout and the colour,
yeah,
and,
yeah,
the format. And then in the end, what has been produced is the way we decided.
Yeah. And how long did it actually take you? When did you start?
Well, the whole thing from day one took me from, I think it was August 2012 that I started.
Yeah.
And
now we're only in 2014, so in
two years.
Yeah.
Effectively, it took me two years. You know?
It must have taken in man-hours a huge amount.
Well, it did, and you, like, even though I say so myself, like, you needed a certain amount of dedication and persistence to see it through.
Yeah.
I mean, there would be evenings that you wouldn't be too keen on doing a whole lot, like, but then again, once I'd get started, I'd see it through for that particular night, you know.
Was your experience at writing the history of Little Ireland a help?
Oh, certainly it was, yeah, it was. It was as regards the time to spend on it and the way you'd approach it and how you'd finish it off, and that there's no doubt, like, the experience of doing that and the experience of a previous launch was, I would hope, a great help to the club when they were setting it up.
And is there another book in the offering?
No, not at the moment, no. I'm going to relax for a while.
Okay, Paddy, thanks very much for talking to us, and maybe we'll hear from you again in a few years with another book.
Well, you're welcome, Diarmaid. Thanks.
I'm now with PJ Murphy, the manager of the Erin's Own senior hurling team. PJ, a great night here at the launch of Paddy's book, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, it's a great night here. Great work by Paddy, it's a fantastic book, yeah. And it relives all the great moments and memories that we've had over the last 25 years.
Yeah, and like, looking back now on your first match in the county championship against Middleton, that was a fantastic win, wasn't it?
It was a great win, because to beat the champions in the first round was a great boost to us, a great boost for the lads and for their confidence, because we trained very hard, we prepared well, and we're hoping for a good performance, but to win was absolutely brilliant for us.
But your league form is really showing up, isn't it? Like, you're top of the league now.
We're top of the league, but I suppose that's a little bit false, because we have more games played than anyone else. Yes. But at the same time, our last three or four league games prior to we playing Middleton, our form was very good in them, and that was, you know, there were good signs there, really.
Were you surprised when you beat Middleton, or the way Middleton kind of seemed to, I wouldn't say no, you know, that they kind of lay down against you, but like Erin's Own really got stuck into him in the second half especially?
Yeah. Well, I put it this way, I was expecting a good performance from our lads. Whether we won or not was another thing, but I would certainly have been disappointed if we didn't put in a good performance, and I was happy with that, because the lads deserved it the way they're trained and prepared for it.
Yeah, and were you short anybody on the team, or have you more to come in?
Well, the only lad we were short was Stephen Cronin, who's normally centre back or full back with us. He was unavailable, but hopefully he'll be back for the next round.
Yeah, and you've moved people now, like Killian, further up the field. Have you enough backs and less forwards?
Well, you know, Killian has showed great form in the league at midfield, and we needed more quality up the field. And Killian, his work rate is fantastic, and he's added a lot to us, you know.
And Owen has been unerring, like, from the frees, hasn't he?
He has, yeah. He's been practicing away, like, you know, and he works hard at it. So it's very important to have a good free taker.
Are you going to be waiting now for a long time because of Cork's involvement in the championship?
Well, if Cork win the Munster final, I think our match will be played in the weekend of the 2nd of August. So hopefully Cork will beat Limerick and we'll be in action in that weekend.
And you were telling me now the draw is next Tuesday night, is it?
Next Tuesday night, yeah. And so we could be playing one of the four seeded teams from last year, the four semi-finalists of last year, except for Middleton, we can't play them, and anyone else then after that.
But Middleton now are, and Sarah's are after coming back into it again, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, the laugh of it is that there's 16 clubs in the first round of it, and when you go through all these matches that are being played, you'll end up there's only two teams out of it by the time the fourth round will come.
Yeah. And is it a help that you have nobody on the Cork panel now at this stage?
Well, I suppose it is, yeah. I'm kind of disappointed for Killian, but yeah, it is, because you have all your players available to you for training, so that's good for you.
And are the league matches going to continue, or will they be held up as well?
No, the league matches go ahead. We've only three games left. We've Killa, Bride Rovers and the Glen, and that's our league programme completed. And we're playing Killa in our next league game, which is in 2 weeks' time.
But you're looking forward now to the rest of it with confidence, are you?
Well, I'm looking forward to it with more hope anyway, like, you know, and everyone is enjoying it. We're having a great year. The lads are in great form, so it's great to be involved.
PJ, thanks very much for talking to us, and the best of luck in the rest of it.
All right, good morning.
So, switching now to the East Cork board fixtures and results, and the results for last week, Thursday, the 3rd of July, 14, East Cork under 21A Hurling Championship, Dungorney 4-14, Middleton 1-19. So, Dungorney are really going well in hurling this year. Wednesday the 2nd of July in the East Cork Junior Football League Division 2, Bride Rovers 3-10, Glenmire 10 points. And Tuesday the 1st of July in McKillie Avenue, Junior Hurling Section 1, Ballyhooly 1-15, Lisgould 5-17. And Sunday then, and Saturday last, we had the East Cork Junior A Hurling Championship. Now, we almost went through the field there, but Erin's Own left me down, but that was more, I said, hat ruling the head. So on Sunday the 29th of June, now in the East Cork Junior A Hurling Championship, Sars 21 points, Erin's Own 1-15, and that was after extra time. Saturday the 28th of June in the same competition, Carrick 1-19, Carrick Navarre 23 points, so 1 point went for Carrick Navarre. And Saturday again, Killer 1-12, St. Edith's 19 points, and Seamus Harrodley top scorer there for St. Edith's with 9 points, one of them from a place ball. And Saturday again, Lisgould 17 points, Dungorney 3-17, so Dungorney, I'd say, are setting themselves up now to be nearly favourites. I suppose Castlemarte will have something to say about that. And Saturday 28 again, Middleton 3-14, Russell Rovers 2-12. Now fixtures for the coming week. on Friday the 4th of July in the Imakili Avenue Junior Hurling Section 2. Middleton are at home to Shan Ballymore at 7:45. And Saturday the 5th in the same competition, Castlemartre are home to Buttevant at 7:30. And the same competition again on Saturday. This is in Section 1 now. Cove are playing Clyde Rovers away at 7:30. In the East Cork Junior B Hurling Championship now, Carrick Navarre are playing Dungourney and Watergrass Hill at 7:30. And we're back again now to the East Cork Junior A Hurling Championship on Saturday night at the 5th. And Carrick are playing Russell Rovers at Rastellan at 7:30. And that's going to be fairly tight enough, but given that Carrick ran Carrick Navarre quite close, and Middleton, I suppose, had, well, a 5-point win over Russell Rovers, probably give it slightly to Carrick, maybe by a point or two. Sunday the 6th in the Imakili Avenue Junior Hurling Section 1, Ballyhooly are at home to Carrick Navarre at 10:45. That's an early start for them. And Sunday the 6th in the East Cork Junior A Hurling Championship now, Aaron Zona back out again against Killane Middleton at 7 o'clock. And given Aaron Zona's good display against Sars, I'm going to give that to Aaron Zona maybe by a point or two. Monday the 7th in the East Cork Junior A Hurling Championship, Bride Rovers back out again against Liz Gould at Castle Lines at 7:30. And I think I have to give that to Liz Gould as their first team and Bride Rovers second. And Tuesday the 8th in the Imakili Avenue Junior Hurling Section 1, Russell Rovers are at home at 7:30 to Liz Gould. Wednesday the 9th in the Imakili Avenue Junior Hurling Section 1, Cove are at home at 8 o'clock to Ballyhay. And Wednesday the 9th in the Junior Hurling League Division 4, Castlemartre at home at 7:30 to Aheda. And in Wednesday in the 9th in the Imakili Avenue Junior Hurling Section 1, Sars is at home at 8 o'clock to Ballyhooly. So moving on to ladies football in Division 4 A and B League now on the 30th of June. Donnies beat Clanmire to win the league, and put in 4 seed, and Aheda had a great victory to debut Castle Magner, and they won the league to 4 seed. In Division 3, Watergrassville beat Bantry in the semi-final and now meet Drumtariff in the final. Division 1B was won by Bride Rovers on the 29th of June. Saturday, June the 28th, now Cork beat Kerry by 3-11 to 2-10 in round 2 of the Munster Championship, and Kerry now play Clare, and more than likely they'll beat him because Cork beat Clare very well a few weeks ago, so they'll be playing Cork then in 2 weeks time in the final again. Emma Farmer top scorer for Cork with 1-2 in that match. In Camogie on Saturday the 5th of July, Wexford are at home to Cork at 3:15, and Sunday the 6th of July in the Under 16 A Championship, Cork are playing Dublin at Kessel Road in Blackrock at 2:30. And Sunday the 6th of July in the B Championship Under 16, Derry are playing Cork at 3:15 in Dunamore, Ashburn. Some results now from the Rebel Oak. Last night in the Premier 2 Under 14 Football Championship, the 3rd of July, Thursday, Cabaret Rangers 4-7, Middleton 3-11, they won by a point. That was a replay on the 28th of June last Saturday in the Premier 2 Under 14 Football Championship, Middleton 2-6, Cabaret Rangers 2-6, so a great win for Middleton there in the replay. In the Premier 2 Under 18 Football Championship, on the 2nd of July, now Wednesday, ahead of 1:23 Middleton, 11 points. Premier 2 Under 16 Hurling Championship, and the 2nd of July, Wednesday, Stars 1-7, Castle Lines 2-11. And the Premier Under 16 Hurling Championship, on the 1st of July, Tuesday, Passage 3-7, Father O'Neill's 2-9. And in the same competition, Carrigaline 1-8, St. Coleman's 2-16. In the Premier 1 Under 16 Hurling Championship, and the 30th of June, Monday, Douglas 4-14, Kerry 2-2-9, and the Premier 1 Under 18 Hurling Championship, and the 29th of June, Sunday, Duhalla 3-9, and Father O'Neill's 1-18. In the Premier 1 Under 16 Hurling Championship, and Saturday, the 28th of June, Bullock 2-15, ahead of 2-14, and Sars 3-14, and Duhalla 1-8.
Thanks, Dermot. And now we'll get the thoughts of Declan Byrne of the East Cork Journal on the games coming up this weekend. Declan. And Saturday night we have the first of the backdoor games in the second round of the Junior A Hurling Championship, Kai Toole versus Russell Rovers in Rathdellan, time for 7:30. How do you see the game going?
Yeah, it's an interesting game. As I said, Russell Rovers last out to Middleton. I suppose Middleton, like, have so many hurlers now, they would be pretty strong. But Kai Toole gave Kai Navarre a mighty run for their money in last week up in Watergrass Hill. So I think Kai Toole will come out on top of that one. Especially they have a lot of players with senior experience, you know, players like Jason Barrett, Niall McCarthy, who's just back from Australia. And they have some good players in, like Kieran Gosden is a good free taker. So I think Kai Toole are that bit better, not reliant on one or two people. Their team is a bit more even than Russell Rovers. Russell Rovers are depending a bit too much maybe on Jack McGrath and that to get scores for them. So I would see Kai Toole coming out on top of that one.
And I suppose Kai Toole, I know, I'm talking one of the selectors, I think and the game in Watergrass Hill, they were from the original selection, five or six of them pulled out for different reasons.
Yeah, they had five changes. Obviously they used up five players then again, but some of the players that that weren't able to start might be actually able to take up positions now, and there was a few key positions, like centre back and that were picked that didn't play. But look, I think if they produced a display like they did in Watergrass Hill, then they pushed Cardiff Navarre, who would probably be one of the fancy teams for the championship this year. They pushed them all the way and they scored 119, which is a very good score. So I think they'll be too strong for us, the Rovers.
And to Sunday, Ernst Lohan versus Killer in Middleton with a 7 p.m. show in. How do you see that one?
Yeah, it's kind of a difficult one enough, I suppose. Killer, after kind of losing in the senior, I suppose they lost in the junior then as well, so sometimes when you get into a rut it's hard to get out of it. Erdens Owen had a local derby with Sayers, and they pushed Sayers kind of all the way, so I think Erdens Owen would probably be that bit too strong for Killer. But as I say, Killer have a lot of experienced players as well, and they have a big panel. I think they're the only team maybe outside Sayers and the East Cork now, they have actually four teams. They have senior, junior A, junior B and senior C, so they have a lot of players. But young Daniel Anders did very well for Killer in that particular game. But I think Cairns Owen, the fact that they're already through in the senior, and they have been knocking on the door in that junior A for a while, they have a lot of good players. So I think Cairns Owen will probably be too strong for Killer in that particular game.
Would Killer have lost any from that junior team that played in against Milton in the senior in the All on Sunday?
No, I don't think they don't think they have lost any more on that particular game, so I think they'll probably be okay enough and from that point of view. But at this time of the year there could be people getting holidays and things, so and people pick up injuries and that, so there may be one or two changes, but at the moment I don't think there's any changes anyway.
So Declan, you're coming down the side of Ernst Owen.
I would be in that one, yeah. I think they will be that little bit too strong for Killer, but look, and you never know, we've often been proved wrong in the past with our predictions.
Will happen again in the future, won't it?
It will indeed, yeah. The Monday game then sees Bright Rovers and the school in Castle Marta at 7:30, and Bright Rovers kind of exceeded some of my expectations, I suppose, in that they played very well against Cove on Tuesday night. They only lost by a point. Veterans Jerome O'Riskill and Terry Broderick start for them, so, but I still think the school will be too strong for them. The school last out to Dungourney, it was 3-17-17. You were at that game yourself, Padge, and the goal they got, Dungourney got an early goal, they got a goal to start of half time, and they got a goal to finish up. So the school still scored 17 points. They might have conceded 3-17, but they scored 17 points themselves, and I think if they can do that type of scoring again, they should be a bit too strong for Bright Rovers.
As you say, I was at that game. Liz Gould at times tend to shoot themselves in the foot, don't they, so to speak. Like, they were 1-3 down early in the first half, and yet they went in at a half time level, and like, God only knows where, like, the supporters and the team that are there at half time must have been really looking forward to the second half, and it was only 2 minutes old, and they found themselves 1-2 behind already.
Yeah, it was a strange kind of a game, and I suppose, look, every club has their own maybe problems and selectors and all that, but the school, like, they started out with John Cronin picked at midfield and played him at full forward, and then they proceeded to hit six wides in a row by driving the ball too long instead of leading into him, and they bought him out the field, and as you say, and they got back into the game on level at half time, and then they fell asleep again in the first 10 minutes of the second half and left themselves to the mountain to climb again. And they did climb it, like, they closed the gap, but they could never close the 6-point gap. They went score for score but couldn't close the 6-point gap, kind of brought it back to three, and then they got a Dungourney got a goal in the very last minute again from Kevin Kelleher to wrap up the game. But as I said, there was 9 points in it at the end, but at the same time, there was only three strikes of a ball, it was the three goals that mattered. And this Gould definitely are one of the teams that have the ability, but they don't always play to their potential. But I think if they do play to their potential, they should be good enough to beat both Rovers.
So Liz Gould on that one. So we move on to the County Junior B Football Championship. The quarterfinals is this weekend, and the first one we look at is Ballincorra play Kilmeen in Kilmurry on Saturday night, throwing in half a seven. How do you see that going?
Yeah, well, I think Ballincorra, they are about in the hurling and the football last year. I think they should be good enough to beat Kilmeen. I think Kilmeen were beaten by Castle Lyons earlier in the competition. I think Ballincorra will be good enough to beat them. Kilmurry is a massive big pitch. It's a fine pitch now and wide open pitch. I was there for a Klein versus Rockchapel game maybe a year and a half ago, and it's a fine pitch and should suit Ballincorra. I think Ballincorra will probably come out on top of that one.
Ride Rover versus Whitechurch, that game is done for Glenville, I believe.
Game is done for Glenville, yeah, at 7:30 again on Saturday night. And I think Whitechurch probably have the better pedigree going into this one. They were pushing Klein for a few years back in the Junior A before kind of Klein went up. They were knocking on the door for the Junior themselves, and I think they probably have more football ability than Bright Rovers, and especially Bright Rovers now after getting knocked out in the hurling last week. They've only one chance left, so not all the players might be available to the football team. So I would see Whitechurch probably shading that one.
And finally, the third East Cork team, and as well, it's great that into the quarterfinals, but not between the three of them, they didn't meet as such, but we've Castle Lyons and Redpeak in Riverstown on Saturday night, again at half a seven. How do you call that one?
Yeah, it's a difficult one. I don't know too much about Redpeak, to be honest with you. Castle Lyons definitely have some very, very good footballers. You know, the likes of Colm Splane, who was on the Cork Senior panel for a while there, and in the hurling, you know, Colin Barry, Rob Feeney, they have a lot of very, very good footballers, but they don't always be available to them, and they don't always get them out. But the fact that they're you know, through in the intermediate hurling to the next round, I think Castle Lyons might just make a go of this one. They'll be very, very fit from training for the hurling, and if they can get their shooting boots on at all, I think they could shade Redpeak. And as I said, Riverstown will be no stranger to them. They've often played there, so I think Castle Lyons might just shade that one. So I'd kind of go for two East Cork wins and one East Cork loss in the Nubbies.
And finally, Declan, there's one game in the Junior B Hurling Championship.
Yeah, two teams, I suppose, who had good wins in the Junior A last week. Two clubs, I should say, not teams. Carrick Navarre in the Junior A, they got over Carrick Tool, and Dungourney, as we just spoke about, they got all this schooled, and neither of them used too many subs. So Carrick Navarre had 38 players lined out the day they played Carrick Tool in Watergrass Hill on their panel, so they should have a good, decent enough Junior B team. And likewise, Dungourney seemed to have a good few subs the night they played this school as well. I think Carrick Navarre probably will be that little bit too strong for Dungourney, and I'd say Carrick Navarre might just shade that one. It's on Watergrass Hill at 7:30 on Saturday night, so without seeing too much of them, you know, I the fact that they both had good wins, I think Carrick Navarre might just shade it.
Thanks, Declan.
So that's about it from the GAA scene for this week. We'll be back again next week, and we'll see how we got on with our tipping in the Junior A Hurling Championship. But if you have a chance, please go out and see one of your local teams playing. So until next week, Slán.
Soccer in the Electricity First Division, Friday the 4th, Cove Ramblers travel to Ferry-Carry Park to play Wexford Utes, and the kick-off there is 8 o'clock. I'm sure Cove Ramblers will be hoping to continue their winning ways after they got their first win of the season against Shamrock Rovers B at home last weekend. In the Premier Division, Sunday the 6th, Cork City are away to Sligo Rovers, and the kick-off there on the showgrounds is at 7 o'clock. In the World Cup, we're down to the last 8, and Friday the 4th sees the first of the quarter-final matches when France take on Germany, with the kick-off there at 7 o'clock, and Brazil versus Colombia at 9. The winners of these two games will meet in the semi-final on Tuesday the 8th there, with the kick-off at 9 p.m. In the other quarterfinals, Saturday the 6th, Argentina play Belgium. Kickoff is at 7 o'clock. and Holland play Costa Rica at 9. The winners of these two games meet in the other semi-final on Wednesday the 9th with a kick-off there at 9 p.m. And a reminder that the final is on Sunday the 13th with a kick-off there at 8 o'clock. That's the same day as the Munster hurling final between Cork and Limerick. I wonder how many will be at the World Cup final, and will ask themselves, I wonder who won the Munster final. Top scorers going into the quarterfinals were on 5 goals Rodriguez of Colombia, with 4 were Messi Argentina, Muller Germany and Neymar Brazil, and with 3 goals scored Robin and Van Persie, both Holland. Horse racing, the home meetings this week are Limerick Sunday the 6th, Friday the 11th is Cork, Tipperary is Saturday the 12th. And just a reminder for the week after, the 4-day meeting at Killarney takes place beginning on Wednesday the 14th and runs right through to Thursday the 17th. Across the water, the meetings this Saturday are Beverley, Carlisle, Haydock, Nottingham and Sandown, where the big race of the day takes place, the Cald Eclipse. Aidan O'Brien is 2 in the race, Walkman ridden by Jamie Heffernan, and Verizana ridden by Ryan Moore. But I suppose the one that makes most interest in the race is Kingston Hill, who was pulled out of the Irish Derby last weekend because of the going. And this race in Saturday is over 1.2 miles, so it'll be interesting to see how he copes with the going on Saturday, as well as the drop back in distance. Greyhound racing. There are meetings in Curraghan Park this Thursday, Friday and Saturday, as well as you all have their usual Monday and Friday meetings. Your Track Supporters Club have kindly sponsored free admission to the all meets from the 4th of July to the 22nd of August inclusive. That's a great initiative by the Supporters Club, and we say well done to them. News from Cockbeck Pitcherport Club. We start with recent results. Wednesday the 25th. 3 ball scramble at 27 holes. The winners were Redmond Walsh, Mick O'Brien and Dan Horgan. Friday the 27th, 4 ball versus par. First net, Redmond Walsh and Tim Horgan. First cross, Victor McDonald and Dan Horgan. Second net, John Ahern and Sean Barry. On to Sunday the 29th, 4 ball. First net was Mick Barrett and Dan Horgan. First cross, Liam Shannon and John Ahern. And second net was Pat Lorden and Tim Horgan. The Cockbeg Open. This year's Open runs from Wednesday, July the 9th to Saturday, July the 12th inclusive. The format is single stroke play for the 4 days, and there will be prizes in all categories. News of the club outing. The club outing this year is to Conigar in Dungarvan. That's on Saturday, July the 19th. Please see the club notice board for more details. Fixtures for the week ahead. Competitions on Wednesday 2:30 and Friday 7:30. Competitions Sunday morning at 10:30. And just a reminder again that the Cockbeg Open commences on Wednesday, July the 9th. Meanwhile in athletics, the All-4 takes place this Thursday, July the 10th, and the race day starts at 8 o'clock. The following week, the Barry's Court 5K takes place on Wednesday the 16th in Barry's Court, Carrigtool, and the race there starts at 8 p.m. Cricket news. This weekend, Saturday the 5th, Midland second team are at home to County Clare seconds in the Midland Towns Park, and that's in Division 3 of the Munster Minor Leagues. For clay shoot enthusiasts, if you want to see some clay shooting this weekend, the venue is Ballymacoda and the date is Sunday the 6th. That's about it from us for another week on the Smile FM Sports Show. We're almost out of time. Just to say thank you to Declan Barron of the East Cork Journal, as well as Dermot O'Connell, our regular GAA contributor. Not even much more left to say for this week, only do have a great sporting week.